Every action comes with a motive. That motive can create victims immediately while placing many others at a future risk, which can cause a reaction that can escalate the whole scenario. Now, that's a very general analysis of what we're looking at regarding Russia's actions regarding Ukraine. Two questions rose rather fast from Putin's actions. The first was, of course, why? Second was, okay, what's next? Here with his expert analysis is Vice President of the American Foreign Policy Council, who has also served as a consultant for the CIA and the Department of Defense. He's a frequent columnist and contributor for the Washington Times, Forbes, Wall Street Journal, among other places, as well as an author whose latest book is Implosion, The End of Russia. We say good morning to Elon Berman. Good morning, Mr. Berman.
Good morning.
And elonberman.com on the web is the obvious location for his writings and his work. And, you know, people are looking at what Putin is doing with the Ukraine, and they're looking at it as an offensive act. But having read your book, Implosion, The End of Russia, and What It Means for America, in a way, is this almost a defensive act by Putin, with the understanding being that there's a certain type of Russia that he wants that's not there right now, a powerful one specifically, and he has to show Russia in an image that he wants it to be shown as?
No, I think that's a good point. I mean, certainly what you're seeing the Russian government do in Ukraine looks offensive in terms of sort of Russia exercising an imperial impulse. And there's an element of that, too. But it's also defensive. It's defensive because inside the country, Russia is demographically declining. Russia's running out of Slavic Russians. And as a result, all of the imperial aspirations it has, you know, reconstructing the old Soviet empire, take on a little bit of an imperative nature. Putin's Russia, in other words, is going out of business in a numerical sense, and Putin wants to widen the pie. He wants to bring in additional citizens. And it only reinforces the idea that places like Ukraine, but not just, places like Ukraine and Georgia and Belarus and Kazakhstan used to belong to Moscow, and they should again, and in fact they need to again for Russia to remain in business.
I think former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger wrote a piece a few days ago that incorporated or explained the long history and the long roots that actually Russia has in Ukraine, not necessarily vice versa. Kyiv played the city of Kyiv played a crucial part in the formation of Russia.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, a long time ago, it was the seat of Russian power, and as the empire, what we now sort of think of historically as the Russian Empire, expanded across the territory known as Eurasia, Kyiv was the place where the real decisions were made. It's very important.
Now, obviously, the people of the world, and certainly we in America, look at this as a negative, but as you write in Implosion, The End of Russia, What It Means for America, 70% of respondents in a 2005 poll by the Moscow-based Levada Center said that the unification of Russia with Ukraine would be a positive move. 40% of those polled said they approved of a union with Belarus, which had been, you know, an idea pushed by the Kremlin for some time. So within his own country, Putin is playing to his audience right now.
No, I think that's exactly right. And this is what I think a lot of the analysis that you see sort of in on the television and in the newspapers today sort of really misses. It's not that Putin is pursuing a policy that's good for Putin. He's certainly doing that. But it's also the fact that Russia's imperial impulse is not just Putin's. It's Russia's. You can see support for this sort of expansionism on the left of the Russian political spectrum. You can see it on the right. There is a real broad-based sense that the sort of the territorial expanse of the Soviet Union was unjustly wrenched from Moscow's control, and that Russia's destiny lies in recreating that sphere of influence.
We're talking with Elon Berman, who is a frequent columnist, contributor for the Washington Times, Forbes, Wall Street Journal, vice president of the American Foreign Policy Council, author of the book Implosion, The End of Russia and What It Means for America, elonberman.com on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, as far as when Putin does what Putin does, and Let's do a compare and contrast, because I was looking through some video a few days ago. The Obama administration waited its typical 5 to 7 days before speaking out and basically said, well, we're debating, we're deliberating, we're meditating, but I know one thing, we're not going to go to a G8 meeting. You contrast that reaction to what Putin does to the way Reagan reacted, I believe, the night after The Soviet Union shot down the Korean commercial airline flight back in 1983, and you have two very different reactions and positions that America was placed in well, not totally similar instances, but, you know, the one today could be working toward that one that from yesterday.
No, I think that's right. And, you know, I don't think it's fair to say that what Russia is doing now in Ukraine was caused by the Obama administration. But you can certainly say that the way the Russians are behaving in Ukraine and throughout Eastern Europe has been emboldened by this sort of this hands-off attitude, this wait-and-see attitude that the White House has taken, not only to what's happening in Ukraine, but also to other crises, for example, Syria. I really think that the Russian policy is being shaped by a perception that the West is divided, that there isn't a lot of unity on the part of the United States and its European allies. And interestingly, what you see now coming out of other countries in the former Soviet Union, including in particular the Baltic states, is a clamoring for the sort of protection that precisely the type of protection that we provided under President Reagan during the Cold War. The only problem is that we simply can't put our money where our mouth is because the Obama administration is in the process of drawing down U.S. military capabilities pretty substantially. Just a couple of weeks ago, the Secretary of Defense announced a drawdown of U.S. military forces to pre-Cold War levels, to essentially World War II levels. So nothing resembling the type of sphere of influence, the type of protection that we were able to offer our allies or the fragile countries that were threatened by Russia during the Cold War, are we able to do today?
And in response to that, people would say, well, given what that is, then this is really just a call for NATO troops to step up. But then they always talk about NATO in a singular connotation, where, in fact, if NATO stepped into a situation that we're seeing right now in Ukraine versus Russia, we're bringing in 30-plus countries in that case. And that's never going to be an organized situation.
No, that's exactly right. And in fact, the enduring lesson of the last conflict that the Russians fought, which was the war with neighboring Georgia in 2008, was that NATO really dodged a bullet because everybody in NATO understood that had NATO expansion to the east continued, had it gone a little further along historically, then Georgia would be part of NATO and NATO would have gone to war with Russia. It would have been forced to go to war because of its collective defense guarantees. So I think, you know, the NATO allies, while we want them to act robustly, are actually going to step very gingerly. They're going to talk the talk, in other words. But in terms of fighting a war with Russia, I'm not sure they're ready to walk the walk.
Wrapping up our time with Elon Berman, author of the book Implosion, The End of Russia and What It Means for America. He is vice president of the American Foreign Policy Council, has consulted with the CIA, Department of Defense in the past, and read his work in the Washington Times, Forbes, and Wall Street Journal, and elsewhere, elonberman.com on the web. Listening to Issues and Ideas, Putin is always perceived, and like, judging by photos, if nothing else, certainly his actions too, as a bully, a man of strength. But as you write about in Implosion, he's running scared in a lot of ways because he's staring down at the business end of a population invasion by Muslims, and a good number of those radical Muslims. A lot of people forget that the two Boston Marathon bombers came from an area that Putin has a lot of concern over right now to his west.
No, that's precisely right. I mean, the old saying is that when you have trouble at home, you go abroad, and that's very much what the Russian government's doing now. They're cutting a pretty imposing figure on the world stage, but inside the country, they have tremendous difficulties. Russian population as a whole is dying. Vladimir Putin himself estimates that by the middle of this century, the Russian population, which is now about 142 million people, is going to constrict by about a third, which is a pretty colossal sort of truncation of your human capital. But at the same time, it's not constricting uniformly. Russia's Muslims are actually rising as a proportion of the population. By the end of this decade, one in five Russians is going to be Muslim. And by the middle of the century, every other Russian could be Muslim. And that's okay. Countries change all the time in terms of their ethnic and demographic composition. But the Russian government hasn't really done anything to assimilate these people, and it's left them susceptible to radical ideologies like the ideology of Al-Qaeda. And that's why you see radical Islam in Russia not receding but actually rising.
Just to wrap up here, about 30 seconds and change left, how much of a wild card is China in all of this?
Well, I think the Chinese are watching what's happening with Ukraine very closely, because Russia is not the only one who's trying to expand its borders outward, trying to revise its borders in its favor. The Chinese are doing very much the same thing. They're questioning the territorial sovereignty of countries in the East and South China Seas, and they're doing so pretty dramatically. And I think what they're seeing is only going to embolden them. What they're seeing out of a disunited West not having a coherent response to Putin makes them think that, well, frankly, there's not going to be a Western response to Chinese expansionism in Asia either.
Book is Implosion, The End of Russia, What It Means for America. Get it because you will gain the understanding that pretty much everyone else is missing as far as the root of why what is happening today is happening with Putin and what still may be coming down the pike. And it's written by a frequent columnist for and contributor for the Washington Times, Forbes, Wall Street Journal. He is also vice president of the American Foreign Policy Council, Elon Berman. Mr. Berman, thanks so much for the education that you provide with your writing and your book. Thanks for being here this morning.
Oh, my pleasure.